You're listening to Wheelationships.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us, choosing to be here with us this morning. I wanted to open up with a little sign I saw. I think it was on Facebook or somewhere. I don't know where I saw it. It says, I didn't really mean to push all your buttons. I was just looking for mute. Yeah, been there, huh? Been there. Well, if you have been with us since the beginning of this Crazy Maker series, then you've learned how we defined a crazy maker, what makes a person a crazy maker. We've talked about how they're hardwired, what's underneath, some of the whys of why they're the way they are. We have talked about some of the methods, some of the things that we try to do to change that dynamic with our crazy maker. And we talked about why they don't work, why they almost never work. And to clear the deck of trying to use those things, we took an honest look at ownership, taking responsibility, who's responsible for what, making sure we own up to those things. And then we began equipping you with resources. We've covered four of them up to this point. So this morning we're looking at resource number five, which is your words. Your words. See, one of the things that makes a crazy maker is normal almost never applies. It very seldom applies. So when we have problems in our other relationships, whether it be professional or personal, and we have a problem come up, we can meet with them, we can sit down, we can talk it out, and we can come to a working conclusion. But when you're dealing with a crazy maker, especially one that doesn't own up to their part of the problem, then things don't get resolved. So what usually happens is we tend to talk an awful lot about them and about the problems that they create in our life instead of actually talking to them with dialogue that's going to promote change. It's going to initiate change. So this resource number five is a very brave one. It's a very hard one, but it's often a very seldom used one to the degree that we're going to talk about this morning. Because what we're used to doing is getting frustrated with them. We're used to throwing up our hands. We're used to arguing with them. We're used to getting angry about them or towards them. But we're not used to often having, we're also used to getting sucked into their cycle and saying, I'm never going to let that happen again. And then it happens again. And so all of these dynamics are at play. But when we take this intentional dialogue that we're going to talk about this morning, then things are very different. Your words are very important. Your words can initiate change. You have to have a conversation with your button pusher. And you have to know the best way possible of doing that, because not just any old way is going to work. If you haven't had a confrontive conversation with someone, then you need to first use one of the tools we talked about a few weeks ago, which was a role play with a safe and sane person. This is not a conversation that you want to try to just wing it, to just go in. And it may sound kind of, because it's different, you don't usually do that, role play a conversation, but it's really important to do that here because a role play is going to allow you to work through any doubts, any defenses, any deflection that's going to happen, and it prepares you to better guide that conversation in a way that's going to have a good, effective change in the direction you want it to go, instead of you just spiraling, getting sucked down this black hole like Alice chasing the rabbit, where nothing is as it should be, which is what happens with crazy makers and button pushers. So it's a very uncomfortable process, but your crazy maker needs to hear your words in order to change. Couple scriptures this morning, Zechariah 8:16. These are the things you should do. Speak the truth to each other and render true and sound judgment. Ephesians 4:15 and 16. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth and tell it in love, like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. Your words have a lot of meaning. They give direction. They give information. They're key in any relationship. You cannot assume that your life, like we've talked about, that the love you have for them that we've talked about, is going to be enough to make change happen. If they don't have the words to give them specific information, they're going to assume that everything's fine and that you're happy with the way things are and that there aren't any issues to bring up. But there's several aspects to having this conversation that we're going to be looking at this morning. And as we go through these, think about which ones you already are relatively skilled and have some ability in, and which ones you probably need some work on first before you take this resource and apply it to your crazy maker situation. Some of this is going to be basic information, not earth-shattering, but worth reminding yourself of the importance of. Because in every conversation, there's two parts. The first part is your tone. Your tone, how your voice sounds when you say something. Tone is highly important. You can completely negate what you're saying by having a bad tone, a wrong tone. Take three very simple words like I love you. I can say I love you, or I can say I love you. Same words. Completely different tone, completely different message that's being said. And we've said it in here plenty of times. I can't tell you how many times we've heard in our house, raising four kids, where we've had to bring them back into focus. It is not what you said. It is how you said it, because that is very true. Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody, and I'm embarrassed to tell you I've been on both ends of this conversation, where I've been the one doing it and I've been the one receiving it, where there wasn't necessarily anything wrong with the words, but the tone was screaming, you're an idiot. I've been called on that before, where I was saying what I was saying, but my kid says, Mom, you've got that you're an idiot tone about you, you know? And I've been on the receiving end of that. Tone is very, very important. Your tone is always going to be important, but never more so than when you're having this conversation with your button pusher. So you need to ask for a meeting. You need to ask for a meeting. Ask for time to talk to them. Don't be spontaneous about this. Most of this is, I'm going to keep repeating it, don't wing it, don't be spontaneous. This sends them the message that what you're going to talk to them about is very important to you. Now, it may put them on their guard, because they're going to assume perhaps you have something that you're unhappy about that you want to talk to them about. That's okay. The conversation needs to have a specific time. But because their guard may be up coming into it, your tone is critical. How you begin, the tone you begin with, and the tone that you carry throughout the conversation is very, very important. You can convey warmth even when you disagree with somebody. We very rarely do that. But you can convey warmth even when you disagree with somebody. It's something we need to work on. I just jumped way ahead. I'm sorry for that. Hang on a minute, because I'm going to backtrack, because there's an example I want to give here. Talking about your tone and their guard being up. When you're having that conversation with them, that it's critically important, your tone. It's got to serve a purpose when you start out your tone of what Tim talked about last week, and that is having that first stance of communicating, I am for you and I am for this relationship. And that's what your tone is going to set the ground for, so it's important. So now the point that I jumped ahead on, obvious reasons your tone needs to be warm. It needs to have warmth. Warmth is going to speak of safety. It's going to speak of care. It's going to help them drop their defenses a little bit and become not quite so on edge of what you're about to say. Again, you can be warm even though you disagree with someone. The problem is, a lot of times, because of what the person has put you through up to this point that has made them your crazy maker, all that you've gone through with them, it can be a little difficult to feel warmth towards them. If that is the case, you need to pause right there and you need to go to God. You need to go to a safe and sane person and confess those feelings that are anything but warm and get them out of the way. Because if you don't, when you go and try to have that dialogue with them, that is going to leak out all over the place. Even though you don't think it will, it will. And those emotions that aren't warm are going to leak out, and things are going to deteriorate quickly, and you're not going to get the results that you were hoping for. Like on the playground, if kids are fighting in a sandbox, two kids need an adult there to keep things safe and in order. And if you aren't prepared to be the adult in this conversation, don't expect your crazy maker to be, because they are not going to step into that role. So you need to be the adult. You need to ask for the meeting. You need to guard your tone, have the talk, but guard your tone while you're doing that. Now, along with the warm tone, you need to speak from your experience. You need to use I statements. You need to share things from your, what you think, what you feel, from your perspective. See, we have a tendency to kind of speak in all or nothing terms, and whatever we're thinking, this is the way it is, this is the only truth, this is the authority, this is the ultimate. And when you come across with that kind of tone of, you know, my truth is the truth, then you're going to have problems getting them to hear you. Their ears are going to stop up, and they're not going to hear what you have to say. So what I'm going to put on all...
I messed up.
Oh, that's okay. It was going to be on the screen, but that's all right. As I'm going through this, I'm going to give you a lot of examples, because for me, examples are easier when I can hear what you're talking about instead of just telling me what you're talking about. So for example, here's two statements that aren't on the screen, but two things you might hear. You might could say, you are angry with me all the time and you need to stop. Or, it seems to me that you are angry with me pretty often, and it's difficult for me to be close to you. You're communicating the same thing, but you're using completely different words and completely different tones in communicating that. In the first one, you're judge and jury. You're angry. You need to stop. And in the second one, you're saying, I want to be close to you, but this is difficult for me. This is very hard right now. In the first one, it's all the time. In the second one, it's often. So you need to speak from your heart, but use a tone and a word that's going to be bringing down walls, not building up more walls and more obstacles. And the second part, aside from tone, in every conversation is content. The words that you're saying, what you're actually speaking. Now, I'm going to give you a lot of content points in a general chronological order that you're going to probably present when you have this conversation with your crazy maker, but be flexible. This is just a general guideline to give you an idea. So the first thing you want to start with is affirm the good. Affirm the good. It is usually a very good idea to take the initiative by first affirming the good that is in that person, the good that you see in them, the good that you see in the relationship, the things that you like, that you want to grow. Now, there are some crazy makers where you're going to have to stop and think a long time, but you can come up with good, I promise you. But that's what you want to begin with. It's simply you reciting some of the things that you appreciate about them, that you want to see more of. Because for a lot of people, myself included, if it feels like it's about to be a confrontational conversation, unless you're really, really good at having a non-defensive listening ear, which most of us aren't, the minute that person starts talking, you're already formulating your response. That internal conversation began immediately when they came at you with something that you didn't think you were going to want to hear. And most of the time, we form our response out of that internal conversation, not out of what they're saying. So that's one of the things we have to be careful of, and what affirmation helps. It's easier for them to feel safe and hear what you have to say and digest what you're saying. So another example, beginning a conversation with affirmation, thanks for meeting with me. I wouldn't have asked for this time if this wasn't important to me. And it is important. This relationship's important to me. I'm not here to criticize. I'm on your side. You know, if it's a relationship based on love, I love you. You know, be a little awkward saying that to your boss, you know, so keep that in mind. I want things to be good between us. And things aren't good right now. I want them to be better. There's a lot of good in our relationship that I want to keep growing. There are a lot of qualities in you that I admire and I appreciate. You have so many great qualities, like your work ethic, your parenting, you know, how much your friends care about you. So all I want to do in this conversation is talk about a problem in order for us to solve it. I want to get it out of the way and out of our lives because it comes between us. It's hurting our relationship. It's hurting me. And I want it resolved because I want things to be good between us. Does that make sense? Now, that's not a rhetorical question you're ending that with. That is a very real question to ask because you need that feedback. Did you just hear my words of affirmation? Sometimes they will. Other times they won't. No matter how well you thought you formed those words of affirmation, that internal conversation sent them a different message in their responses. So you're saying this is all my fault? You're saying I'm the bad guy? Then you reaffirm again. No, 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 no. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is that you matter a great deal to me. And the problem I want to discuss is like this boulder in the middle of the road that I want out of the way so that it doesn't stand between us. Does this make sense to you? And as I said, most of the time, that's going to convey the safety that you need in order for them to be able to hear you correctly. You may need to try again. You may need to bring in a third party if they're still just not getting past this affirmation point. The affirmation point is critical because you're never going to be able to get past those other steps to the stuff that you need to address if they don't first feel this affirmation from you. So you have to be really careful there. Hear them out. It's the next step. Hear them out. Now, this may seem kind of counterproductive to your mission because you're thinking, wait a minute, the whole point was me talking to them. Why am I hearing them out? You're going to have a lot better chance of them listening to you if you allow them first a chance to speak. Early in the conversation, if you close your mouth and just listen. To better understand that, think of the last time somebody had to confront you with something. And here's that internal conversation that I was talking about. That usually starts happening. And if you give them a chance to speak first, you get that internal conversation out of their head and out of the way so that there's space for your words to take root and to plant in there. Because that internal conversation begins almost immediately. And it's very hard to listen to what the other person has to say if that's going on very loudly in your head. So hearing your crazy maker out at the beginning helps them. Now, you don't come right to this session and just dump your entire message with all the details and all the examples. You give them kind of a touch on the context briefly in order for them to be able to have a chance to respond. Again, an example, something like this. I want to talk to you about our relationship, especially my experience with you being too angry with me. I want to first understand your side of things. What's things like for you? Do you see this as I'm seeing this? Or is there something there that I'm doing that isn't helping this? You haven't dumped the whole load on them, but you've opened the door, given an idea of what you plan to be addressing, and then you be quiet. You give them a chance to speak. You give them a chance to share their thoughts. And most of the time, they'll feel that permission, that grace. Now, realize, too, their thoughts aren't going to be as organized. Their tone may not be warm. That's okay. Listen to them anyway. Now, if they get overly angry, then you may need to step back and say, you know, this is getting a little too emotional. We're probably not going to progress and accomplish what we hope to. So we need to shelve this and come back to this. But usually that's the exception. At this stage, if you've done that, that's not probably going to happen. But you do need to hear them out. And while you're doing that, here's your next step. Listen empathetically. Listen empathetically. Please, 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 when they give you a response, don't take this as the opportune time to correct them. to disagree with their perspective, to try to justify yourself or defend yourself in some way, this is not the time or the place. There will be time or place for that another time, but this is not it. You just need to listen, because you'll lose ground and it's not going to help your mission. Just be still. Understand the opinion. Doesn't mean you're agreeing. You're just listening. Big difference. So while listening, if you hear them make a valid point in something that you have contributed to, then that's a great time to stop and take ownership, like we've talked about. You know, you may have to say, you know, you're right. I can see where I do nag and try to control in that area, and I can see how that does make things worse. I'm sorry for that. I'm going to do my very best to correct that and stop doing that. So you can stop and take ownership, but don't stop to correct and to change their opinion. At the same time, don't let them go on forever. A lot of times somebody's that's all their life been this button pushing crazy but crazy maker person, whew, that was hard to say, they can let their protests go on forever and ever and ever, because a lot of times these types of people, their whole focus is them. They're the victim of everything in life, and so they can let that protest phase go on and on forever, and you need to stop them. If there's a protest, bring it to an end. Paraphrase what you understand to be the reality of what they're communicating, and then did I get the gist of that? But it doesn't need to go on forever. Now, on your side, it's going to be really tempting to feel like this is so not fair. You know, I'm having to do all the hard stuff. I have to guard my tone. They don't. I have to choose my words carefully. They don't. You know, why can't I just do like they're doing? This isn't about being fair at this point. This is about you setting aside your desires and wishes for a greater good. And it's going to make the world a difference in the outcome and how this progresses. Progressive if you are adult enough and mature enough and self-sacrificing enough to allow that to play out. So extend here, give grace, and then wait. When you've done that, now comes the time. You get to state the problem. You get to say what the problem is. You need to make it direct. You need to keep it simple. Don't beat around the bush. Don't skirt all around it and tiptoe. Be direct, keep it simple, but don't be unkind either. You did not bring them this far to now annihilate them. So make sure you're being kind. Clarity and simplicity is going to help them understand the problem. State what they are doing and how it is affecting you. Now, I said keep it simple, but it's really not a simple process. So we're going to peel this back a little bit more and look at these further. While you're stating the problem, you need to begin with what is observable. Frame the problems in terms of what can be seen, what can be observed, even what can be measured. Tell of specific words, specific behaviors, and how it affected you. I gave you this example of anger when we started this. We're going to just continue that thread through. Your specific statement may sound something like this. You get overly angry at home. You yelled at me last night when I asked why you were late for dinner. It lessens the chance of them being able to deny that it happened. You were specific with your time and what was said. He was right there. You know, you're not being vague about it. And then the next thing you need to do is state the problem's effect. How it's affecting you. If it weren't, this wouldn't be a problem if this were not affecting you negatively. So you need to state how it's affecting you, and as much as you can, keep it in context of the relationship and how it is affecting the we of the relationship, not just the me in the relationship. So again, an example of doing that, your yelling scares me and it scares the kids. It's hard for me to get close to you with that level of anger. It shuts me down inside and I can't get past it even though I want to. And I miss being close to you, but it is impossible when you're that angry. And then when you aren't angry anymore, I still have those feelings. And so you're ready to be close and I'm not. So you're being very specific. And when you keep it in the context of the we of the relationship, whatever that relationship may be, parent, child, or whatever, it helps them to keep from being resistant, from breaking through those resistance. You're showing specific ways that what they're doing is affecting you and other people, and it'll help elicit some empathy and compassion on their part. And then this third little aspect is when it's an attitude. Sometimes a button pusher's problems can't be measured in behavior and words because it's an attitude. It's very difficult to pin down an attitude with specifics. It may be a condescending tone. It may be a slight shift in their mood when you have not done things exactly like they wanted you to, or you have disagreed with them in some way. He may not even be aware he's doing it. And by the way, I'm going to repeat what Tim said last week. I keep saying the gender he because it's too hard to keep flip-flopping. Understand these apply to he's or she's. But he may not even be aware he's doing it, but you state them from your experience, such as this. When I try to talk to you about a problem at work, you don't seem to be listening. I don't know how else to describe it other than you seem preoccupied with your thoughts and very dismissive of mine. It's not anything he said to you directly with words, but it was spoken to you just the same in an attitude. If he admits it, you're off to a great start. If they don't admit it, if they still don't see what you're talking about, then you can try something like, well, how about this? How about next time I feel that experience happening? How about I stop right then and tell you this is what I'm talking about? And again, even then at that later next time, your tone is critically important. If you stop right then and go, see, this is exactly what I'm talking about. You're going to blow it right there again. Continue to be warm. Be gentle. Your point is not to be right. Your point is to get this problem out of the way so that it doesn't keep hurting the relationship. So if it still doesn't work, then you're going to have to go on to the next step, which is the resource we're talking about next week. But as you go through this with your crazy maker, make sure that you are sincerely taking ownership for your stuff. At every opportunity, show them you see that. Like we've talked about that in previous weeks. They need to hear you acknowledge the things that you've done wrong, the ways you've contributed by your actions or by your failure to act, the ways you've contributed to making this problem worse. Repent, apologize. And again, the big temptation here is for that fairness monster to rear its ugly head, because you not only feel like you've had to suffer with all the garbage they've brought you through, you're now having to do so much hard stuff. You're having to watch your tone and go through these steps, and it's very tempting to say, this isn't fair. I don't feel like this is fair that I should have to be the one to do all this. So what all of this is bringing you to is to a point of humility. You have to be humble in order to successfully navigate your way through some really hard things to do. They require humility. Even if that person is the major contributor and you're the minor contributor, it's still going to require humility. Philippians 2, 3 through 5 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but to each of you, to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And then Proverbs 22, 4 says, true humility and fear of the Lord lead to riches, honor, and long life. And then I just like the paraphrase in the message on that same verse. It said, the payoff for meekness and fear of God is plenty. The payoff is plenty. And honor and a satisfying life. And that's what we want. That's what we're going for. But like so many things we do, when we try to honor God, it's hard, but it's necessary. So humble yourself. And then having done all of the above, then it's time to say what you want changed. It's time to say what you want changed. Don't be afraid here to use you statements. You need to be very clear. You are communicating the bad thing you want them to stop and the good thing that you want them to start doing, or the good thing that they should have been doing that they aren't doing that has caused the problem. You don't want them to misunderstand the requesting. You don't know when you're going to get this chance again. So be clear, be specific. You may say something like this, I want you to stop being so angry with me. If you're angry, tell me what's wrong so we can talk about it in a calm manner. You know, if you're that mad, then take a walk first. Talk to somebody first. Don't come to me until you've got it at a level where we can address things in a sensible way. There's not just one all-encompassing way to do that, but speak from what you want, say what you need, but be careful not to get stuck in a confrontation cycle yourself. Again, because of all you've had to deal with and go through with these difficult personalities, when you finally get to the place where you can unload, don't do it with every barrel forever. You know, you have to be careful there. Clearly state what you want and what you want changed. Now, there may be times when you're requesting something that that crazy maker cannot do for you at that time. For example, if there's a substance abuse problem, they can't just stop many times, even if they want to. You know, if you're dealing with somebody that is just clinically depressed, they can't just choose to be happy necessarily. If you've got somebody with the anger issue we've talked about, that anger problem may be beyond him and he needs help. If that is the case, then you can request something. There is something that you can request. There is always a next step. For a substance abuse person with a problem like that, that request may be, you need to get into treatment. That may have to come first. If it's somebody who struggles with depression, you need to call a therapist this week. That may be the next step. The person with the anger issue, you need to talk to somebody now. There's always a next step. Even if your original request can't be filled, there is a next step that can be requested and followed through on. So what happens, and I gotta zip along here, what happens if I go through all of these steps and my crazy maker is still resistant? I've done what I'm supposed to do, and they're still denying, they're minimizing, they're making excuses, they're shifting blame, putting it on to somebody else. What then? And that may be a very real possibility, because oftentimes the crazy makers, they're very good at deflecting responsibility. They avoid accepting responsibility at all costs. You went into this with truth, with the hope of change. They're just trying to get out of it unscathed and to avoid pain. So there may be a lot of avoidance and not accepting things. That's not the time for you to give up. It's not the time for you to throw up your hands and go, well, I tried, you know, just never mind. You know, it's not the time for you to walk out. It is the time for you to recognize we have a second problem that we need to deal with besides the problem you thought you were bringing up. And that second problem is their resistance. That now has to be what you have to deal with. So listen to what they have to say and then get right back on track. You hear them out, you listen to the excuse, and then you refocus back on your request for change. Let's get back to the issue at hand. I understand that you think you wouldn't get so angry if it weren't for me. We can talk about that some other time, tomorrow night if you want to, that's fine. But for right now, we're getting back to what this conversation was about, and that is my request at you not being so angry when you're at home. So don't let them derail you at that point. It's not controlling him. It's just controlling your part of the conversation. Because remember, during the opening, you gave them your chance to speak. You listened to what they had to say. This isn't their opportunity now to shift everything and make it all your fault and put it all back on you. That's not the time for that conversation. There's a time for that conversation later, but this isn't it. Don't let them derail that crazy train. Now, if after several attempts, they keep avoiding that responsibility. They keep, no matter how hard you keep trying to get it back to the problem that you were addressing, then you may have to side that original problem. You know, in this case, it was the anger issue. Put that on a side burner for a minute, and now your focus is a new problem, and you need to focus now on the resistance. That now becomes the problem to address. And if you've gotten to that point and they've drug you to that point, their resistance has probably been the major problem all along. And so you have to stop and address it now. And you can say something like this: I'm feeling pretty helpless right now. Each time I try to show you that your anger is a problem for me, you either blame me, you tell me I'm overreacting, you make excuses, or you just get angrier. And this is not productive for either one of us. I'm beginning to see that whatever the topic, whether it's anger or parenting or money or sex, I can't talk to you about problems in a way that you're going to listen to me. I cannot imagine that this is pleasant for you either. So can we now focus on that? And then another solution is to transfer responsibility for feedback onto them. I can't seem to talk to you or tell you any kind of truth or how I'm feeling in a way that you will listen to me. So why don't you tell me the best way I can speak to you so that you will listen to me, so that you will hear me? And they may say something like, I need you to reaffirm that you love me. You know, they may communicate that in so many ways. They may say, I need a little bit more warning than what you're giving me if we're going to have this kind of conversation so I can better prepare myself. You know, if it's reasonable, do it. That's the easy, easy fix. That won't be a problem to do. Now, I know there's been an awful lot of information given to you this morning about this talk, because it's a biggie. And it serves important purposes like reconnecting and reestablishing communication. But it also serves another purpose that's really important, and that is that it gives you a diagnostic of their character. You know, when you take a car into the shop and they run these diagnostic tests so you can see what the underlying problem is, that's what this talk is going to do for you as well. Because if you take this huge, brave step with this person, and they're receptive to it, that your vulnerability that you've presented, the warmth that you've presented, then you're probably not going to have to apply a lot of pressure to keep the next steps that we'll be sharing with you, to keep that ball rolling, just monitoring it, to keeping on track. However, if you've done all this and the person refuses, either directly or indirectly, to see or admit that there's a problem, then it's going to take more than just words. It's going to take some action. And the Bible teaches us, when you go to a person with a problem and they don't listen, then it's time to move to consequences and limits. It's not being unkind. It's necessary. But you first have to warn them that limits are coming. Sometimes just giving the warning will change their behavior. You know, if you raise kids, sometimes you had some kids, you just had to look, you just had to warn, and it changed. Sometimes it'll be that way with your crazy maker too. But don't warn them until you've had this talk a few times. Don't jump to a warning until you've confronted them a few times on this. And never, ever, 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 ever warn if you don't 100% plan and actually do follow through. Don't warn if you're not going to follow through. God spends a whole lot of time in Scripture warning us and telling us to warn others. It is a gift and a blessing to give someone a chance to change by way of warning. But this talk isn't going to be easy. It's going to take a lot of preparation. It's going to take prayer. It's going to take role play. It's going to take so much work on your part. So it's better to be over-prepared than under-prepared. But you'll know by their response what the next steps need to be. And if the next step is action, come back that next week, because that's what we're going to be talking about. So let's pray real quick before you zip out of here on me. God, thank you for your unique way of teaching us and helping us function on this earth and in our relationships in a way that brings you glory. I ask the Holy Spirit to go with each one that's here today, permeate into their mind and into their hearts the things that apply to their situations and circumstances. Help them to grow and learn and do what brings you glory, and to bring a good resolution to these relationships so that they honor you. Be with each one. Give them a great afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen.